Well, good morning, everyone.
Ooh.
That was loud. Welcome to First Baptist. My name is Jeremy. I'm the senior pastor here. I just want to say welcome. I'm sure glad that you've joined us this morning. If you're a guest with us this morning, I just want to welcome you here. I hope that we've been good hosts to you. I'm glad that you guys have joined us. I already got the chance to meet a couple of new people this morning. It's just always a joy when we have guests with us. One of the things that I want to say and just share with you, whether this is your first time, or maybe you've been here for a long time, maybe you'll only be here this time, or you'll continue to be a part of our church, one of the things that's really important to us here is Jesus. He is central to all that we do here. And so my hope for you, whether you claim to follow Jesus or not, is that any amount of time you spend with us, is that you grow to love him more, that you grow to understand him more, that you care about Jesus, and that he comes to be central to your life. That he comes to be a treasure for you. That's our hope. And so, you'll hear a lot about Jesus. That's one of the goals, all right? We want to talk about Jesus because we love Jesus here. So welcome. We're glad that you're here and that you've joined us. One of the things that I want to start out by telling is just a story. Some of you know this. I grew up playing baseball. I really enjoyed playing baseball. Michael and I graduated high school together, so he knows this. I enjoy playing baseball. I grew up playing in Little League and really enjoyed the sport. I still remember playing on the Becker Orioles when I was in sixth grade. I remember these teams I played with, and one of the things that I still remember as well is when a teammate of mine showed up to practice with a brand new Easton Z-Core aluminum bat. I still remember the day that he came with this bat. It was a gift he had gotten from his parents, and everyone on the team loved this bat. We all wanted to use it, and so each time one of the players would get up to having at bat, we'd use this same bat over and over. We love this Z-Core bat. It was an important gift that he had received from his parents. Now, when we would use it in a baseball game, we were using it for its intended purpose. But can you imagine with me if we were to walk down a gravel road and begin to toss up little rocks and hit them with this bat? It would not be very good for the bat, right? Eventually, it would be dinged up and it wouldn't be useful for its intended purpose anymore. Now, I did this once, actually, with my parents' old softball bats. They were not too happy, but it wouldn't have been as severe as this Z-Core bat that his parents had given him. One of the things that's meant to illustrate is that gifts are valuable to us, especially when we use them for their intended purpose. No matter how important or special a gift is that we receive, if we don't use it for what it's intended for, it severely diminishes the purpose of that gift. It's one of the things we're going to talk about this morning. Each of us have been given a gift from the Lord. We've been given gifts. And one of the things that God calls us to do as we've received these gifts is to use them for their intended purpose, which we'll see this morning is to serve one another. God calls us with the gifts we've received to serve one another. It's one of the purposes we'll see in our text this morning. So we want to use our gifts for their intended purpose. We're in the middle of a series called Why We Do What We Do. Now, the title of the series is informative for the subject matter. We want to talk about why we do some of the things that we do, right? We, like so many churches, we participate in a number of different things. We invite you to be a part of a number of different things, and we want to spend this latter half of the summer talking about why we do some of those things. You'll get invited at different points to participate in a variety of different ways here as a church, and there are a number of different things that you'll see that we repeat and we participate in often. And so we want to talk about why we do some of those things. So early on in the series, we talked about why we preach exegetically. And we talked about why we pray dependently. And then we talked about why we invest in the next generation. We talked about why we participate in community groups. Well, this morning, we want to talk about why we join serve teams. Why do we join serve teams? And one of the reasons, as I've already shared with you, is that God has given us gifts, and he intends us to use those gifts to serve one another. And our serve teams are one of the ways that we'll invite you to serve one another, to use the gifts that God has given you to do that. And so, the text this morning will be 1 Peter chapter 4. I invite you to open your Bible if you have one with you. If you don't have one with you, there are some in the back of the pew in front of you. The text will also appear on the screen behind me. You can pull it up on a device or some other way, but 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11 is where we'll be this morning. So if you have your Bibles open and ready, I'll read for us. 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11 says this: "The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, Be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is God's word. Would you pray with me as we begin to look at how it informs our lives? Jesus, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the words of this text. God, we thank you that you have given us gifts and that you call us to use them for a purpose, to serve one another. That you call us to be good stewards of these gifts you've given us. And in so doing, Lord, you give us strength to serve one another, and it all works for your glory. And so, Lord, as we open your word, as we consider how we have received gifts, how we've been gifted, and then how we can use them to serve one another, Lord, would you help us to have a vision for that, to see how our service to one another points to you, that it's not about us, it's not about any single person, but Lord, it works for your glory. So we thank you for your word. As we hear it preached, Lord, would you, by your Spirit, impress it upon our hearts? Would you change us and transform us even now? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the hinge verse for us this morning is going to be verse 10, right there in the middle of this passage. Verse 10 says this: as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. This will provide the basic outline for the sermon. We've each received a gift. We're called to use it to serve one another, and we do so as good stewards. So first, let's take a look at the gifts we've received. Verse 10 says, as each has received a gift. One of the things that I want to say this morning is that you have each received a gift. When you follow Jesus, he's gifted you by the power of his Spirit to work for the good of one another. Some of you come in here this morning and you wonder to yourself, am I useful for anything? Some of you are hard on yourselves and you wonder, what good can I offer to this church? What good can I offer to those around me? Am I good for anything? Some of you are asking yourself that, and you need to hear this morning that God has given you a gift. He's gifted you by the power of his Spirit. And when God says he's gifted you, when he's given you a gift, right? We want to be careful to call into question the gifts that he's given us and the usefulness of those things. He says he's gifted you. So hear this clearly. If you're wondering if you have anything to offer, hear this morning that you have been given a gift. God wants you to use it to serve one another. You have something to offer. You have something out. Now, you might not know what that is right now. You might wonder, what is my gift? How am I gifted? Right? Those are important questions, but you need to hear that you have a gift, and God intends for you to use that gift for one another. Now, the question that might come is, well, what are these sort of gifts that Peter's talking about here? Peter is the author of this letter that we're reading. You might ask yourself, well, what is the gift I've received? Now, here in this text, Peter's talking about a particular type of gift that we call spiritual gifts. And one of the things we see in the scriptures is that God, when we follow Jesus, we receive his Spirit and he gives us a gift to serve one another. He gifts us to serve one another. This is what Peter's talking about here. Now, throughout the scriptures, we see different lists of gifts mentioned. We see different ways that gifts are used. Here we see two: oracles and also service. Now, we see Paul mention many other gifts. There's many different gifts that God might give us. And I believe, my understanding of the scriptures is that the lists we see are not meant to be an exhaustive list. Okay, God has given us gifts, and some of you might read through the lists, and people have tried to compile exactly what gifts are mentioned in the scriptures. Those are helpful things. I don't see those lists as exhaustive. But God has gifted us. He gives us gifts. If you follow Jesus, by the power of his Spirit, he's given you a gift to serve others. Now, in application from this morning, I'm gonna expand some of the application of this even beyond just spiritual gifts. It's clear here, I want to do justice to the text. Peter's talking about spiritual gifts that he's given us. But I also want to expand in application the fact that we have received different aspects of who we are from the Lord. We have different personalities. We have different ways of functioning with one another. We have different temperaments, and we have different strengths and passions. And these are all important things as well. God wants us to know these things about ourselves, how he's crafted us and made us, so that we can use those things to serve one another. So just hear clearly, God has gifted you. And when you become a part of his body, he wants you to use those gifts to serve one another. You have something to offer. The second thing I want to say about that is this gift that you have, God has given it to you. We should not take lightly the fact that here it says that we have received a gift, as each has received a gift. Right? You didn't give yourself that gift. You didn't just wake up one day and say, hey, here's a gift I want to implant into myself and then use it. That's not the way it works. God has given you the gift. You've received the gift from the Lord. Sometimes we think that we can do more with ourselves than we are able. We sometimes think we can turn ourselves into something that we're not. God has made you in a certain way. He has gifted you in a certain way. I'm 5'9". I'd love to be 6'2 or something, right? I can't do that. I can't just make myself taller. I can't change the color of my eyes or my hair. Well, I guess you can dye your hair, but I can't change the natural color of my hair, right? We can't do those things. I can't just give myself a gift because I want to. God has given us gifts, and we are called to receive that gift. And the value of gifts is often determined by the giver of that gift. I read that last winter, the Queen of England gave all of her staff, 1,500 staff, Christmas pudding for Christmas. Okay, I checked out the price, about $10 for each of these Christmas puddings, which, you know, 1,500 staff, that's about $15,000. That's pretty significant. But I did think to myself, Christmas pudding. I don't know that I would be real excited about getting Christmas pudding for Christmas. I don't know. Maybe some of you have had that and would really enjoy it. Some of you, maybe if I gave you a $10 Christmas pudding, you'd say, thanks, Jeremy. I appreciate that, and you'd be kind about it. But if the Queen of England gave you a $10 Christmas pudding, that might mean a little more to you. The giver of a gift sometimes determines the value of the gift. When God says he's given you a gift, that's significant. God has given us gifts. We want to receive them well. And at the end of the day, it isn't just the gift giver, or it isn't just the gift that we want, but the giver of the gift. Right? When I think about my kids, right, I provide many things for them, right? My wife and I give them a shelter, we give them a home, we provide food, we provide things, needs for them, clothes, and the occasional, right, like special gift. We give them different things, we provide for them. But if I was on my way home today and got into an accident and I died, my kids would miss me far more than they would the gifts that I did not give them anymore. At the end of the day, we want the giver of the gift, not just the gift. And I actually believe that using gifts well is a way of enjoying the giver. One of the ways that God wants us to use the gifts he's given us is to serve one another. That helps us to enjoy the giver. The purpose of the gift is to serve one another. When I think about my friend who had the Z-Core Easton bat, right, when his parents came to a baseball game and got to watch him using the gift for its intended purpose, I believe that brought joy to their soul. When we use the gifts that God's given us in the way they're intended, I think it helps our relationship with him. It increases our love for him and the enjoyment we have in him. And so God's given us gifts. We need to recognize they've come from him. And our gifts, they complement one another. Our gifts are intended to complement one another. Paul uses this language, this analogy of the body often for the church. He gives us a picture of the body, that we work together. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 12, 14 through 20, he says this, "For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body." I want to encourage you this morning to embrace the gifts God has given you, and resist the temptation to be envious of the gifts he's given someone else. Some of us in the room are hands. Others of us are feet. Some of us are ears. Some of us are mouths. What we tend to do, though, with one another, if we're an ear, right, we have the gift of hearing, but what we want is the gift of speech, right? We want to be the mouth. We see the mouth, and we're jealous of the mouth. But can you imagine an entire body made up of mouths, right? They'd just be freaky, right? That's not what we want, right? Not only that, but now we'd miss out on the gift of hearing. We'd miss out on the gift of touch. Miss out on the gift of sight, right? A body has many parts, and together they form the body. In the same way, we have been given gifts to complement one another. And one of the things that we need to get to a point to is to understand, how has God gifted us? Who has he made us to be? So that we can be understanding of that and not want to try and just, you know, take other people's gifts, but embrace the way he's made us. When we come to understand who we are and how God has gifted us, I believe it liberates us to fully live into those gifts and to use those gifts in service to one another. It helps to save us from desiring everyone else's gifts because we understand, how has God gifted me? We thank God for those gifts, and then we use them in service to one another. So recognize our gifts complement one another. And so the question that might be coming to your mind now is, well, how do I know what gifts I have? How do I know how I'm gifted? How do I know who I am? How do I know my temperament, my personality? How do I know my gifts? Well, there's a number of ways you can discover those things, right? There's assessments, and there's a number of different ways that you can pursue an understanding of how God has gifted you. In fact, it's something I hope that we as a church continue to help one another discover. I want to empower you to understand your gifts and to understand who you are so that you can use those things in service to God's kingdom. That's a hope that I have for us as a church, that we continue to empower one another by understanding our gifts. But I'm going to give you one simple way right now this morning for you to even go out this afternoon and to understand your gifts even more. And it requires one another. My encouragement to you is just to simply ask someone you trust how they see God gifting you. So whether it be a spouse, a friend, a roommate, maybe a mentor, ask someone whom you trust, how has God gifted me? How do you see God having gifted me? And how can I use that in service to the kingdom? So that's one way you can discover how God has gifted you. Just ask someone you trust. Serve one another in that way, and then give one another an honest answer. Give one another a genuine and honest answer. Encourage one another in how to use those gifts. So first, we've each received a gift. Now, second, as we move through verse 10, the second phrase there is use it to serve one another. God's given us a gift, but not just to hang out in a room by ourselves and enjoy the gift on our own, but to serve one another. We're meant to put the gift to work. The gift is meant to be used, right? The purpose is to serve one another. I use this illustration of a bat hitting rocks, but that's not the purpose of the gift, to go and hit rocks down a gravel road. It's the purpose is to use it in a baseball game, to hit a baseball. Right? We want to use our gifts for their intended purpose. The intended purpose of the gifts God has given us, according to Peter here, is to serve one another. So we want to use our gift for its intended purpose. If we hop back up to verses 7 through 9, it says this, "The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling." There's a priority here on one another. Throughout the scriptures, we see a priority on the one another's, right? The community. This isn't a solo sport. That's not the way this works. We're meant to serve one another, to love one another, to prioritize one another, to show hospitality to one another. For God's people, the redemptive plan here had taken place up to a certain point. It was nearing the end. This is why Peter begins this phrase, "The end of all things is at hand." Jesus had come, the Messiah whom God's people were waiting for. He had come, and in his life, his death, and his resurrection, he had fulfilled an important part of this redemptive plan. It was nearing its end. And even in light of that, the imminent return of Christ, it was coming, but God's people are not called to just sit and wait. Right? They're called to be active, to love one another. We know the end is at hand, right? The end is coming. The end is imminent. But even still, don't just sit around and wait. Serve one another. Love one another all the way to the end. And in so doing, it testifies to the love of Jesus, testifies to the love of our Savior. Here, Peter says, love covers a multitude of sins. This harkens back to Proverbs 10:12, which says, "Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses." Love offers forgiveness. Love offers patience. It's really difficult to be impatient and unkind, to be unforgiving to someone whom you love genuinely and dearly. It's difficult to do that. Love works good into a community. So here Peter says, love one another. Hospitality is a mark of a Christian. Good hospitality, serving one another, inviting people into your home, caring for one another, being hospitable to one another. These are the marks of Christian community. Jesus says that we will be known as his disciples by the way that we love one another, recognizing that the way we live with one another is a testimony to the Savior whom we follow. So we're called to use our gifts to serve one another as an expression of our love for one another, our care for one another, as an expression of the Savior whom we follow. And so why don't we always use our gifts to serve one another? Why doesn't that happen? Well, sometimes I think we can fall prey to some of the messages we hear in the culture around us. Our culture has a conflicted relationship with relationships, right? Our culture around us, we say that we want community. We bemoan the individualism that we see around us, and then yet we drift toward individualism. We scream for self-fulfillment. We tell people to resist being held down by others. Don't let others define you, right? Don't let others, you know, hold you back. Be your own person. So in one breath, we bemoan individualism, and the other breath, we tell people to go be their own person. Find it yourself. Don't have to worry about people around you. Right, the culture around us will celebrate the fact that we want to serve one another. The Bible tells us to serve one another. And yet, with the other breath, it will tell us to resist being tied down by your family or your church or your tradition. It'll tell you those gifts, they're yours. Do what you want with them. Don't be held back. But the pattern we see here in Jesus is clear. God has given you gifts, and we are called to serve one another with them. And this is the pattern we see in Christ. This is the pattern we see in Jesus. Jesus, he had an endless number of gifts, right? He had perfect access to the Father. He had complete use of the gifts. And he gladly allowed himself to be tied down, quote unquote, to his bride, right? He gladly allowed himself to be sacrificed for the sake of his people, for his church. The Bible tells us that God is love. And as love, he comes to lay down his life so that others can live. And then Jesus tells us to love one another, that this is the mark of a true follower of Jesus, that it would be love. And like Christ, we love one another. Jesus, he offers forgiveness. Through Christ, we can all be forgiven of the sins that we've committed. And then Jesus tells us to forgive one another. 70 times 7, Paul repeats this, commanding those who are reading his letter to forgive one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Like Christ, we forgive one another. Jesus considered us worth dying for. He humbled himself, and in his death considered our needs above his own. And then we are told to do the same, to not look to our own interests, but the interests of others. Like Christ, we are called to consider others' needs above our own. Jesus, he told his disciples that he did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Then he commands his disciples to do the same. He tells them, the Gentiles, those around you, they want to lord it over others. They want to pursue privilege and power and lord it over others. He says, that's not the way of the kingdom. Greatness in the kingdom will come from serving. And so like Christ, we are called to serve one another. So we follow the pattern of Jesus. We gladly give ourselves for one another. These gifts, they're not our own. We gladly use them in service to one another, because our Savior gladly gave himself in sacrifice for us. So practically, what does this look like? Well, one of the things, right, the title of this sermon is, why do we join serve teams? Well, one of the ways that this is expressed here in our church is to be a part of a serve team. Okay, so I'd just encourage you to think about the gift that you have and then ask yourself, how might I serve one another as part of a serve team? We have 7 serve teams here. Community group leaders form a serve team. The worship team forms a serve team. Family ministry, which includes family, youth, and kids, forms a serve team. Our connections team, the greeters who welcome you each Sunday, form a serve team. Serve local forms a serve team. Those who help with In Love, Word, and Deed or other local outreach events. Kinship forms a serve team. Kinship is a ministry to our homebound members. Those who have a difficult time coming and being part of our church due to age or health reasons. And so we want to go to them. We want to reach out. Kinship is one of our serve teams. And then finally, operations is a serve team. This is a serve team that helps things to run in the background. So many things happen that we don't see. Operations team helps to make that happen. Well, these are some serve teams. And just hear me clearly. I am not mentioning these just so we can get people to come be part of something, right? We have some needs as a church. We need to serve one another, and so you'll hear us talk about them. But please remember, at the end of the day, the reason that we do this is not just to fill a need. That's part of it. I also want to call you to serve one another. It would be an injustice for me to stand here and preach each week just to help to make you comfortable and to let you not use your gifts to serve one another. God calls us to use our gifts in service to one another. And so, I want to encourage you to do that. We have serve teams in part so that it's easier for you to use your gifts to serve one another. We want to facilitate that. That's the point. So use your gifts to serve one another. If you're not a part of a serve team, I'd encourage you to. If you consider this to be your church home, if you're a member or a regular attendee and you're not a part of a serve team, let us know. We want to help you get connected to a serve team. It's a helpful way to express yourself in service to one another. Now, a couple of caveats to that. First, serve teams are not the only way to serve one another, okay? Not even close. There's a lot of ways that you'll be able to serve one another, okay? So when people have babies here, we often send around a meal train, right? You can sign up to bring a meal to someone. When someone's moving, right, often they need help to move. When someone has a death in the family, there's ways you can serve them and care for them in time of need. There's a lot of ways you can serve one another. Look for those ways. It does not have to be a serve team. Please don't hear me say serve teams are the only way to serve. But why do we have serve teams? Because we want to help you to serve one another. The second thing I'll say, this is the second caveat. Don't allow being part of a serve team to be an excuse to not serve in other ways, okay? So if you see a need, don't say to yourself, well, I'm on a serve team. Jeremy said I need to be a part of a serve team. I'm on a serve team. I don't need to go do that thing. Right? That's not the point of it either, okay? It's a great way for you to serve, but it's not an excuse to not do anything else, right? So find ways to serve one another. And remember, this is what God calls us to do as an expression of our gifts. It's an expression of our gifts. So as we wrap up, we want to go through the last part here of this text. Verse 10 says, as good stewards of God's varied grace. This is how this verse ends. So we want to recognize the gifts we've received, use them in service to one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. I love that word stewardship here. What a helpful word it is. Stewardship simply means that we are managing or taking care of something that is someone else's, where we're stewarding it. Right? It's not mine to begin with. I want to be a good steward of the gifts God has given me, recognizing these gifts, they're not mine to begin with. And good stewardship means recognizing the purpose for which they've been given to me and using them for that reason. We've been entrusted with gifts. God wants us to use them in service to one another. And the beauty of it is that we don't have to do it on our own. Verse 11 goes on to say, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. We don't have to do it on our own strength. Sometimes you will feel tired in your service to one another. Sometimes you'll feel worn out in your service to one another. And sometimes that means you need rest. Sometimes it means you need to take a Sabbath and take care of yourself. But sometimes it means we need to stop and pause. And remember, this isn't my own strength that I do it with. I serve through the strength that God provides. God desires to strengthen you through the gifts that you have to serve one another. He doesn't want to leave you on your own to do it by yourself. Okay, God strengthens us. What good news that is. He calls us to use our gifts to serve one another. We want to be good stewards of that, and we recognize God strengthens us for it. We don't have to do it on our own. At the end of the day, I don't want to waste my gifts. One of the things that I just desperately do not want to do is waste the gifts God has given me. And so I want to work hard in service to this church. I want to give thought to things. I want to spend the gifts that God has given me well in service to this congregation. And I want to help you to do the same thing. I want to call you to do the same thing. I don't want to waste my gifts, and I don't want to see you waste your gifts either. At the end of the day, that will not be good for you. God calls us to use our gifts. And so I want to encourage you to recognize your gift, use it in service to one another. And we do so, as verse 11 ends, in order that, there's a purpose clause here, okay? End of verse 11, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever, amen. It's a good reminder. It's not about me, right? I mean, I want to use my gifts well. I want to use them in service to one another here. I want to use them in service to the church, but not for my name, but for God's name, for the glory of Jesus, not for my glory. In the same way, it's not about you. I want to help you to use your gifts in service to one another, but not for your name, not for your accolades, but for God's glory. As our church serves one another well, as we serve one another and testify to the Savior whom we follow, we want that to work toward God's glory, not our own. We want people around us to see that and say, wow, they worship a good God. They serve a good God. So this is about God's glory, not our own. It says that this will happen. It will bring glory and dominion forever and ever. It's a good reminder that long before we took our first breath, God was working for his glory. Long after we will take our last breath, God will be working for his glory. And we want to do the same. I want to use my gifts in a way that will last for the glory of God. Our job is to be good stewards of the gifts God has given us to serve one another. So why do we join serve teams? Why do we join serve teams? Because when we do use our gifts to serve one another, God gets glory. That's the purpose. So in conclusion, we join serve teams because we have all been given a gift. We join serve teams because God has called us to use our gifts to serve one another. And we join serve teams because when we, as good stewards, use our gifts to serve one another, God is glorified. And that is why we do what we do. Pray with me. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you've given us gifts. We thank you that you have equipped us to be useful for your kingdom, to serve you well. So Lord, I pray for those in the room here who feel like they came in and maybe they didn't feel very useful. Maybe they felt like they were just not needed or they didn't know how they could serve. Lord, I pray that you would help them to see that you have gifted them, that you desire for them to use their gifts in service to one another. Lord, for each of us, Lord, I pray that you give us insight into the ways that you've made us, the ways you've gifted us, so that we would use those gifts in service to one another. And Lord, in so doing, Lord, I pray that as we love one another well, as we are hospitable with one another, as we serve one another, that we would do so by the strength that you supply, and that at the end of the day, it would work for your glory. Lord, that we wouldn't desire to steal that glory for ourselves. Lord, that we wouldn't attempt to make a name for ourselves before you, Lord, but that the glory would work for you. And so, Lord, would you do that in us? Would you help us to use our gifts well in service to you? And as we do, would you get the glory? So, Lord, we pray this in your name. Amen.